Thank you, ladies. Thank you. That's beautiful. This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I want to talk to you this morning on let me ask you a question. What does Christmas mean to you? Galatians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again and to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I want to ask you, I read this somewhere not long ago about an elderly widow who was getting ready for Christmas, and she decided that it was too much trouble to send pick out presents for all her kids and grandkids. I can identify this because I had 3 kids and 7 grandkids and 3 in-laws. So rather than do that, she decided she would do, Roy, what I did this year. You know what I did? I sent a card and a check. The only thing is, when she sent the card, she mailed the card, she forgot to include the check. Now, can you imagine what happened on Christmas Day when the kids opened those cards and it with the note inside it said, buy your own presents. You imagine that? I hope I put up the check in all the cards. Now I want you to imagine something else for me today. Imagine this. Imagine that you get home at church today after Sunday school. I hope you stay for Sunday school. But after you visit a local restaurant, and by the way, I heard that the club is for those of you who eat the Enterprise Country Club, that's where we generally go. The kitchen is they're having trouble, so we got to go to Poor Folks somewhere today. I don't know. That's a good place for poor folks, isn't it? Go to Poor Folks. But anyway, after you get home from or maybe you'll eat in Mom and Mother's kitchen today, from her dinner table today. But anyway, this afternoon, we're doing, Andy, probably what we'll do at my house. If you came to our house about 2 or 3 o'clock, you'd see us in our regular, you know where you'd find me, don't you? I'd be in my recliner watching the ball game, and Doris would be sitting across in her recliner watching the ball game, reading the Dothan Eagle, and Celia would be on the couch. Sleeping is right, Mike, that's exactly right. But I'll tell you, we have a battle for that, sometimes we have a battle for that couch on Sunday afternoon. But anyway, we are on, it's a Sunday afternoon early, and we get, the telephone rings. And it is one of the networks, television networks. And they say, somebody, a representative on the other end of the line says, amidst all the commercial activity of Christmas and all the decorations, somehow the message, the real meaning of Christmas has been obscured. And what we want to do in the morning, we want to send Jane Pauley or Barbara Walters or Al Roker or Peter Jennings, one of those famous personalities. We want to send them to your house. In the morning, we're going to send the cameras and the mics to your house. And we want you to tell us, as a member of the First Baptist Church, we know you're a member of the First Baptist Church in Enterprise, Alabama. And we want to bring the cameras and mic. And we want you to tell the whole world what Christmas means to you, people across the United States. Well, I know what most people would probably say. Some might say, well, I'll tell you what, go down and talk to Brother Sonny. Go talk to my pastor. Let him tell you. or talk to Ben or talk to Craig and let them, they'll tell you the real meaning of Christmas. They say, no, we don't want that. We want it from a layman's point of view. We want to know why you are celebrating this season of the year. And so the next question might be, well, how much time do I have? You know, a Baptist preacher would take me a little time to tell them, but, and they'd say, Bill, they'd say, well, you got 60 to 90 seconds. Have the camera on you for 60 to 90 seconds, and you've got to tell the world, Jackson, tell the, you know, whole people all across the United States and the world, tell them what Christmas means to you and what is the real meaning of Christmas. And hopefully you'd say, well, I think I can do it. I think I can handle that. And then you hang up the telephone, you realize you're going to be talking to a lot of people. You'll be speaking to people, Steve, who many of them, like many of you, like people in this audience today, people who have come to know Christ, they grew up in a Christian family, and there's never been a time in their life that they didn't know something about God. They're raised in a Christian family. Can't remember the time, Ann, when they learned to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, or Joy to the World. You can't remember, can you? But I can't remember a lot of things that I have absorbed, Pam, through my years. And maybe even for many people, they're coming to Christ when they first came, when they first believed and received. And it's just a vague memory now. But they know that they know the Lord. And then some of the people they're going to be talking to on camera, many of them will be people who don't go to church anymore, who have somehow or another, maybe they got mad, they were hurt, disappointed, they left the church, and many of them, Kim, have just lost interest in it. And they don't go to church anymore. And then I think there'll be a lot of people out there, the vast majority of people that you'd be talking to across America are people that don't have any idea what Christmas is all about. To them, it's about Santa Claus or a day off work or an office party or something like that. Now, if you had to tell it, if you had 60 to 90 seconds to tell the world what Christmas means to you, what would you tell them? Well, I'm going to give you three ideas. Number one, I say the Apostle John's answer. And the Apostle John, he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God inspired him to write, and the Gospel of John's about this, about the life of Jesus. And he begins in John chapter 1, and he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Christmas is all about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And the Bible says in John 1:12, Chad, that He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But to them that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John has a great answer. You could go to John's gospel and tell them that's the reason for Christmas. That's why we celebrate it. The Word was made flesh. You could also go to John chapter 3 and verse 16, Donald, where he says, if you want the gospel in miniature, if you want the Cliff Notes version, you know what that is? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I love John's. You know, and we live in a time now that they want it in as few words. They want it used as few words as you can. And I heard a sermon once on if I only had four words. If I only had four words. If I only had four words, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a good four words, isn't it? But I love John's, what he says here. The Word became flesh, John 1:14. That's why I'd say, Bev, we celebrate Christmas. The Word was made. And then I'd go to our scripture today where in the Apostle Paul's answer, Galatians 4:4, where he says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. When the time was right. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Born of a woman, born under the law. And he said, when the time is right. Theologians have discussed this. They discussed it for many years. And they talked about this. When the time was right. Jesus was born in a Roman world, and the time was right. They had a spoke a common language. Ben could tell you they spoke Koine Greek, and they said communications were good, and there was a spiritual hunger in the Roman world, and they believed in a God, and some believed in one God, and they believed that you could somehow know Him, and through a ceremonial feast, and through washings, and through rituals, and the Roman world, the time was right in that time. And yet the time is right in our day, isn't it? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the right time for people whose lives are messed up, and for people who don't have any idea what Christmas is all about, people who've gone through personal tragedies and failures, and many of them going through things they've been victimized, like those people in Connecticut last week, the little school children. People who, through no fault of their own, through the bad decisions of others. Maybe people here like that today feel victimized, but don't have any idea what this is all about. But years ago, my family and I put my family on a boat. We started down a river. All kind of wild animals along the banks. Tigers and lions and elephants. Rhinoceroses. It was a dangerous ride. There were savages on the banks. Matter of fact, as we rounded the bend in the river, our guide had to pull his pistol and shoot one of those savages that was lunging toward us. It was very exciting for about 30 minutes. But rides at Disney World, you know, they're like that. But see, that was make-believe, wasn't it? That was make-believe. That was make-believe stuff. And I tell you, a lot of make-believe stuff. But what we need in this world is reality. People need reality, and they need to know what the real Christmas gift was, the real meaning of Christmas. God was in Christ. He's born of a woman in the fullness of time. God took radical action to save this world. Well, I gave you two answers. One of them is John's, where he said the Word was made flesh, it was among us, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of God the Father. That was John's answer. And then I give you Paul's answer, where he said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth the Son. Here's Sonny's answer, though. Here's third point and the last one. Here's my answer. Here's what I'd say. If in my 60 seconds or my 90 seconds, here's what I'd say. I'd say, number one, Christmas means God is with us. When they announced the birth, they said, His name shall be called what? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. He made us a promise. He said, and Jesus said, I will be with you. I will never what? I'll never forsake you or leave you alone. We always. And Mike prayed a strong prayer when he said, God help us to remember those who we're excited and in the joy of the season. We forget those that feel alone. They know what you prayed that. So, God help us remember those that feel alone or abandoned. Christmas means that we're not alone. Have you ever been lonely in your life? I remember a time, Charlotte, I remember a night in Ozark, Alabama. I felt so desperately alone. But Christmas means we're not alone. It means God's with us. Emmanuel. He said He'd be with us always. He lives within us, the believer. He lives within us. And then Christmas means not only that God is with us, but it means God is for us. He loves us. And there's another great scripture that says, if God be for you, who can be against you? That's what it means. God is for us. He took dramatic action. God didn't send a committee. He sent His own Son. And He said He did it to redeem this world, that His creation. He did it to redeem and rescue and reshape the creation that was His. God sent His own Son. Then I want to say, not only is God with us and in God for us, but I tell people, it's a birthday party. It's a birthday party. It's His birthday. That one who came from heaven's glory. It's His birthday party. I want to say that a gift is not a gift till you receive it, is it? Not a gift till you receive it. And Christmas to me means that God gave the greatest gift. He gave us His Son to redeem us, to die in our place, that we might have eternal life. And some people say, redeem, I didn't know I was in trouble. I didn't know I was enslaved. Well, the Bible says, if whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And we're going to be in bondage for all eternity unless they're redeemed. And Jesus came to redeem us, to buy us back. I'll close with this. Chipper sent me a story this week. He sent me a story about a lady who had two little kids. And they were, I see Chipper up there. It's a good story. Had two little kids and they were shopping. They'd been there a couple of hours, had two little kids, and they were going down row after row, looking at all the toys, and those kids wanted everything in the store. And she had about all she could take, and finally she drug them to the elevator, and she gets to the elevator with those screaming kids. Nobody here ever had an experience like that, I know. But she gets there finally, she's had about all she can take. And when the elevator door opens, guess what? The elevator full of people. But she drags those two little kids and all those packages in there, and she gets on the elevator, the crowded elevator, and it's all she can take. And she has to say it. She comes out these words. She said, whoever came up with this Christmas thing ought to be found, strung up, and shot. And from the back of the elevator, a calm, quiet voice says this. Said, they already have. They crucified Him. They said, you could hear a pin drop on that elevator, not another word, on the way down. What does Christmas mean to you? If you had 60 to 90 seconds to tell the world. Ben does a great job on the podcast. He says a lot in a little bit of time. But if you had just a sound bite to tell the world, what would you say Christmas means to you? Let me just tell you this. We all live in the older I get, I realize this. We have just a short time to tell the story. I only have just a few days. It's almost like a 60-second spot or a 90-second. We don't have long. It's a small time capsule that all of us have in this world. And then our time's done. Your time's up. We don't have much time to share the story. My son, I talked to him last night. He said he works in development at SMU. I mean at Baylor Hospital in Dallas. Used to work at SMU. He said this week, he said, I got a $250,000 donation this week. You know why? People want to leave a legacy. People want to leave a legacy. I believe we'll all leave a legacy. You will. Peter and John went into the temple in Acts 3, and they said, told that crippled man, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They didn't come, Tommy, to give money away. Didn't have money, but they gave him Jesus.